All right. Well, welcome back to our Love and Its Fruits study from 1 Corinthians 13. I can see there are some of you there, but we're trying going back to the computer here, so I can't see names and stuff. So good to be with you, whoever's out there this time around. Looking forward to studying 1 Corinthians 13 again with you. If you've been here with us so far, you know that we're studying Jonathan Edwards' book, Charity and Its Fruits, which is really about love and its fruits, and what love looks like, how we should be like Christ and the way that He's loved us. Hello, Kilgores. See you guys there. And so far we've been looking at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13 at the value of love, how love is more valuable than anything else we might do in our religious life, anything else we might, sacrifices we might make or good things we might do are worthless unless we have love in our hearts, and how they're not. Love is so critical and central in the Christian life. And now we're getting into the part of the chapter where we are looking at the different characteristics of love. Oh, hi, Finches. I see you there too. Great to be with all of you. And I will say thank you for all the help in the previous weeks with our technical issues. Please do chime in if we lose the video or the audio again or anything like that. I'm hoping we're set up better this time. But anyway, we're looking at the characteristics of love now. What does love look like? If we are being loving people, what will that look like in our lives? And how has Christ loved us already? And the first characteristic of love that we're going to look at, that we will be looking at this week, is patience. That love is patient, or love is long-suffering, is another way to put it. And that is hard. Patience is hard. There's just no question about it that we all struggle with patience in various ways in our lives. And so I would encourage you, as we start this study, to ask yourself, how in the last, or when in the last few days, the last couple of weeks, have you said things like, "I can't take it anymore. I've had it. I've had it up to here with him. I've had it up to here with her. I'm done. Enough is enough. I can't, again, I can't take it anymore." We all are tempted to think those things and say those things. And as we look at this study, I would ask you to I look at this part of 1 Corinthians 13. I would ask you to think about the specific times, or occasions, or people that you're dealing with in your life that make you struggle with patience, and to keep those in mind as we look at this idea of patience. You may be thinking, even as I say that, you may be saying, "Well, how can you know? How dare you tell me to be patient? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the suffering and the difficulty that I'm dealing with all the time." And that's true. I don't know exactly what you're going through right now, but we're looking at God's word here. We're looking at, and I hope you'll see that Christ knows more about patience than any of us, and has suffered more than any of us will ever suffer. But I would also encourage you to think about the fact that we generally do admire people who are patient. You think of people in your life who are long-suffering, who've been patient with you, who are regularly patient with other people in their life. And we do admire it. It's something that's important, that we recognize as a good thing, and Scripture recognizes it as such a critical part of the Christian life. It's one of those words, that this same word for long suffering or patience comes up in most of the major lists of how we should act as Christians. Think of Galatians 5:22 and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Ephesians 4:2 says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another." In Colossians 3:12, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." So it's clearly a commendable and good aspect of Christian character, of how we imitate Christ. But it's also something that doesn't just happen in our lives. It's something that only comes by the grace of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and that's because it's an outworking of love. It's the Spirit who has to work love in our hearts that then comes out in our lives in patience. So that's some of what we'll be looking at today. I hope today you'll be filled with a sense of, with a desire for patience, and that you will love each other and love your neighbor better, with greater patience towards each other, motivated by the way God has loved us. So we'll do what we've been doing up to this point. We'll read 1 Corinthians 13 here again to get a good sense of the whole passage, and so that just keeps getting written on our hearts as we study it every week. We'll read the passage, then we're going to look at a few different sections here. First of all, what is patience? Then how love motivates patience. Then a few more reasons to be patient from Edwards, and then a few objections that Edwards anticipates. So, what is patience? How love motivates patience, reasons, some more reasons we should be patient, and then a few objections that Edwards anticipates. So if you have your Bibles handy, I would encourage you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And again, if you have a notebook that you keep with your Bible that you can be taking notes on in this, I have been enjoying this study in Edwards' book so much, and I'm planning to be able to go back to these notes myself, and I hope that can be true for you as well. But let's read here together from 1 Corinthians 13. I'll read the whole chapter, and this is the Word of God. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And the verse we'll be focusing on there is verse 4, just the very first part, that love is patient and kind. And so, as he does every week, or in each chapter that we'll be studying each week, Edwards always has a thesis, the main idea that he wants us to understand from 1 Corinthians 13. And he says here that love will dispose us meekly to bear the evil that is received from others, or the injuries that others may do to us. And I think the word meek has some connotations today that it didn't in his time, but essentially that we should be willing to bear and accept the evil that is received from others, or the injuries that others may do to us, motivated out of our love for them and our love for God. And that is not an easy thing, as I've said already. So what does it mean to really be patient in the suffering that we experience, or to be long-suffering? And Edwards gives us a few sort of facts about patience here to help us understand what this means. He says that injuries should be borne without doing anything to revenge them. So, in other words, when we are hurt, Scripture consistently calls us not to take revenge personally. That to love someone with patience is to not avenge ourselves when we're hurt. And that doesn't just mean not killing the person, or when we think of sort of real stark cases of vengeance. There are lots of little ways that we can avenge ourselves. I thought it was insightful that Edwards says there will not be a passionate, rash, or hasty expression, or a bitter, exasperated countenance, or an air of violence in the talk or behavior. So often revenge or fighting back against someone can be as little as our facial expressions and the way we talk, and sort of just adding that acidity or that spite to the way that we talk to a person. And so Edwards is careful throughout this section to say that yes, we can defend ourselves and should defend ourselves sometimes, and we may reprove someone, we may correct someone if they're doing something that's wrong or sinful. But we shouldn't ever be reproving or correcting someone with a he talks about not having that severity that only exasperates people, being so severe that it will just exasperate them, and that we need to make sure that if we are correcting someone for the wrong they're doing against us, it's really for their sake, because it's a sin against God, seeking that person's good and not that person's hurt as we correct them. And this is so hard to do, again, but to love someone and to be patient with them is never to seek revenge in this life, to leave revenge to God, as Romans 12 tells us. And patience also means that when someone hurts us, that we continue to love them in our hearts. It's not just enough to not actually punch the person in the face retaliate in an outward way with words or things like that. It's to truly have patience and be long-suffering is to continue to love in the heart. And Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus tells us, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And you can't pray for someone if you're really praying for their good without truly desiring their good, that you want it to be better for them, to truly love them in your heart. And Edwards says, we may pity them when someone hurts us. We may pity them, but not hate them for what they've done, if we're following in Christ's footsteps. He also says that to be patient or long-suffering means that we will bear these hard things that happen without losing our quietness and repose of our own minds and hearts, that our own minds won't be totally disturbed by the difficulties that are facing us. And I think this may actually be a weak point in Edwards' reasoning, because later on he talks about how Jesus never showed any signs of inner turmoil when he was being attacked. And there are some remarkable times when Christ shows incredible composure under attack. But I think when you see him in the garden and you see him anticipating the difficulties he was going to be facing, and you see the language of the Psalms as we cry out in our times of difficulty and suffering, I don't think we're called to be totally dispassionate. But we shouldn't be, I think it's a fair point that we shouldn't be totally disturbed and totally just out of sorts completely because of bad things that people are doing to us. Patience also means that we should be willing to suffer a lot for the sake of peace, even if we have the right to stand up for ourselves. We don't always have to fight for our rights, and being patient often means you won't. You'll give up some of your rights. This is what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 6 when he talks about the lawsuits between believers, and he says, to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? And in our lawyer American society, we need lawyers. They're really wonderful to have, and it's a good profession to be in as Christians. But in our litigious kind of lawsuit happy way of life, it's sort of unheard of to think of giving up something that you have a right to have. But patience and long suffering means that for the sake of peace, often we'll have to give up our rights. And again, it's okay to defend yourself at times, but Edward says in many and probably in most cases, we ought to suffer long first in the spirit of the long-suffering charity of the text, the long-suffering love here in our text. Yes, we can defend ourselves, but I would just urge you to if you think you've gotten to the point where enough is enough, check yourself again and say, okay, is it possible that I need to be more long-suffering here? I need to show patience because God has been so patient with me. And so why do we call this long-suffering sometimes? We call it long-suffering because it's both because of the quantity of the hurts that we experience and the duration of the hurts that we experience. That we are hurt in so many ways in our lives. We're sinners and we hurt others, and we're surrounded by sinners who are going to hurt us. And so that means when Paul tells us here to be long-suffering or patient, it means we're not just supposed to put up with little things. It's also the great hurts that will happen to us. And not just small injuries, but large injuries, large ways that people hurt us in our lives. And also that we're to suffer for a great while, for a long time. It's called long suffering. The actual word in Greek is a compound word for greatness of anger, and that may sound like you're really angry. But what it means is it takes a long time to get to you responding in anger. There's the Old Testament God is often referred to as being slow to anger, and that's really what this patience is, this word is trying to get at, that we're not acting out of revenge, we're slow in getting to that point, which we do come to eventually, where we have to defend ourselves and maybe have to stand up for and stop what's going on, but that it should be something we're willing to do over a long period of time. So that's what patience is, scripturally speaking, to be long-suffering, to keep that love in our hearts, not avenging ourselves. So if that doesn't sound hard, I'm not explaining it right. This is so incredibly difficult with the hard things that we suffer. And so then, how is it that love motivates us to be patient? How does love motivate us to be patient? Well, and Edwards focuses especially on how our love for God motivates us to be patient. Think for a moment. How does loving God make you more patient with the people around you? Or how should it make you more patient with the people around you? And Edwards says the first, our love for God makes us want to imitate him. As I said, God is so often described as slow to wrath, slow to anger. In Exodus 34, verse 6, and Romans 2, verse 4 describes God's patience. God is so patient with us. And if we really love him, we will want to be like him. When you think of a child who has a loving father or a loving mother, a girl has a loving mother, a boy who has a loving father, they want to be like their mom, they want to be like their dad. And that should be part of our love for God. We look and we see his long suffering, we think, I want to be like that. We also, if we love God, it means that we appreciate his long suffering, and we want to be long suffering, we want to be patient out of gratitude. If we love God, we should have gratitude for his patience for us. Edwards also points out that when we love God and we understand who he is, that tends to lead us to be humble. And to be humble is often humility often goes right along with patience in scripture. I read this a moment ago, but Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience bearing with one another in love. And if you think about the times when you're really tempted to lash out quickly, when you get really riled up quickly at something that someone has said or done to you, it's so often pride and conceit that are the foundation of that bitterness, of the foundation of that quick anger, because so often it's our own pride that's been offended by what someone has done. But if we really love God and we know him and we understand him, it's going to make us humble people, because we recognize just how small we are. And so it'll make us more patient. And also, if we love God and we know him, Edwards points out that we will then know that God's hand is in the hard things that we're experiencing. That should make us more patient. If we believe Romans 8:28, that says all things are working together for good, for our good, because God's called us according to his purpose, even when someone is making our lives miserable over and over again, it's just so hard to be patient with this person. If you know that God loves you and you love him, and his plan is working out for your good, that makes it easier to be patient. And also, along the same lines, Edwards points out that if we really know that God loves us, if we love him, then we know that what people can do to us in this life really can't ultimately hurt us in the end. We're above the injuries of men, is the way that Edwards puts it. The more we love God, the more we set our interests on our hopes on the life to come, and what he is doing for us. And as God says, we shouldn't fear, as Jesus tells us, we shouldn't fear those who can destroy the body. We should instead fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We don't have anything ultimately to fear from the people around us, and loving God gives us that sense of patience. But then it's not just love for God that makes us patient. Also, obviously, our love for our neighbors makes us more patient with them. Proverbs 10 verse 12 says, Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. And we all know that from experience. The people that you love most, you generally are more willing to be forgiving and willing to put up with some things, to be more patient. It's the people that you don't love much that you're on a hair trigger to fight against them at the drop of a hat. And now I'm not saying, granted, the people who are closest to us in our families or even our closest friends, sometimes we do have a hard time being patient with each other. I'm not saying that we don't struggle with that, but if you do really love someone, we know instinctively we're more patient with those people. And Edward says, love is directly contrary both to resentment and revenge, because those imply ill will. It means if we want revenge, we want to hurt this person, we want to destroy this person, and that's the opposite of love. Love is to want what's good for a person, to want what's best for them. And so if you want what's best for a person, you're going to be patient with them. That's just sort of the way that love works. That's that connection between love and patience. So then Edwards gives us a few more reasons then. We've talked about what patience is. We've talked about the connection between love and patience. And then this is one of the longer chapters in Edwards' book, because he just goes into all these reasons. We won't cover all of them. The reasons that we should be patient as Christians, as followers of Christ. And of course, I think the most important reason of all or that we should be patient is the example that Christ has set for us of his patience with those who cause his harm. If we God caused him harm, if we are to take up our crosses and follow Christ, and then we should be showing the same patience he did. And just think for a moment about Christ's example of patience. Think about the things that Jesus was called. Edwards points out all these things that Jesus was called during his ministry. People claimed he had a devil. People said he was a Samaritan, which was big put down in those days. He was accused of being a blasphemer. People said that he did his miracles by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of Satan himself. People said not just that he had a devil, but that he was a devil. And again, he had people trying to kill him on multiple occasions before they finally did kill him, when he allowed them to kill him on the cross. People tried to stone him. They tried to throw him, his own people in his own hometown tried to throw him off a cliff. And he put up with so much during his earthly ministry and through his whole life. But Isaiah 53 tells us he went as a lamb to the slaughter, even when it came down to it, and he was being falsely accused and spat on and beaten and you name it in leading up to the crucifixion and to be nailed to that cross itself. He still showed patience, and he showed forgiveness and kindness to the people around him. I remember that on the cross he prayed for the forgiveness of the people who had crucified him. He said, "Look, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And again, I might take issue with Edwards saying that he said there was no interruption of the calmness of his mind. I think we see Christ in turmoil in his heart, but he still maintained patience, and he maintained a compassionate attitude towards those who were doing this to him. So the example for Christ is one more reason. Is the example of Christ is one more reason we should be willing to be patient ourselves. And then, practically speaking, I found this just insightful and common sense, but Edward says another reason we should be patient is that if we're not prepared to be long-suffering, we're really not fitted to live in this world, because you're going to have to be long-suffering. There's just no way around it. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2, Paul says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith." Paul knew that there, not all have faith, and Jesus has told us the world will hate us because they hated him first. We're in a world full of sinners, and we're sinners, and if you're not prepared to be long-suffering and patient, you're going to have a really hard time in this world. In Matthew 10, Jesus said, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." We're going to need it. This life requires patience. And Edwards says, "People who get heated and enraged when injured," this is a paraphrase of mine, but he says, "People who get heated and enraged when injured act as if they thought some strange thing had happened to them, but it is no strange thing at all." We shouldn't be surprised. And if you go through life expecting to have to be patient and expecting people to hurt you, without being overly cynical, you're prepared for it better, and you're more prepared to live in this world. And then Edward points out that the scriptures say that being patient is a mark of true greatness. If you're aspiring to greatness, if you're aspiring to do well, patience is one of the great hallmarks of a great man, a great woman. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." And James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." Is that meekness, the idea of gentleness and not having to lash out, not having to fight back every time. Ecclesiastes 7:8-9 says this, Ecclesiastes 7:8-9, "The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools." And it's a sign of greatness of character, and not that we're just trying to build ourselves up, but if you're striving for excellence, patience is one of those great qualities of Christ's character that we should be striving for. Edwards compares it to a shallow stream versus a deep river, that a shallow stream runs into every obstacle that a shallow stream runs into, it changes its course, and it moves around all over the place because it's not a very great river. But a great river could go over those kind of obstacles could be at the bottom of a river, and you'd never know it because it's just moving steadily with that that greatness of its, or that with that without getting all worked up or all into great turmoil because of the obstacles it's going over. And he's saying that's true of our character as well, that those who are of great Christ-like character are those who are not easily perturbed and have this patience and long-suffering. And then the last reason that we'll look at here of why we should be patient is that being patient is the way to be rewarded with God being patient with us. And this is, if we want God to be patient with us, we should expect that we need to be willing to be patient with those around us. And again, this is sort of that which comes first question. God's been patient with us, so we should be patient to others. But just like when we looked at the Lord's Prayer, it says, if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. If we have a heart that refuses to be patient, it refuses to be long-suffering, the scripture says God is not long-suffering with us. In Psalm 18, 25 and 26, it says, "With the merciful you show yourself merciful, with the blameless man you show yourself blameless, with the purified you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous." With the long-suffering, God is long-suffering. Matthew 7, verse 2 says, "For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And so, as you think about how much you need God to be patient with you, that should motivate you to be patient with others. Because we shouldn't expect God to be patient with us if we're refusing to be patient with others. Now, after all this, then Edwards anticipates that there will be some objections to this. And it's hard for any of us, as we think about real life examples where we need patience, to really accept this and to say, "Oh, great, of course, I'll be patient," because it is so hard to be patient. And so the first objection that Edwards anticipates is that the injuries we're receiving are intolerable, that the injuries we're receiving are just awful. How can you tell me to be patient when the things that I'm receiving are just, the things that are happening to me are so terrible? The way he puts it is that I'm being treated with so much injustice that it is enough to provoke a stone. Like anyone would be provoked by what's going on in my life. How can you tell me to be patient? And I'll just run through some of these questions that Edwards asks in response. He says, do you think that the injuries you have received from your fellow man are more than you have offered to God? He says, do you not hope that God, that as God has done with you so far, so he will continue to bear with you? That notwithstanding all, he will exercise toward you his infinite love and favor. God's been patient with you so far. Don't you want him to, wouldn't you want him to continue to be patient? And when you think of God being long-suffering, don't you approve of that? And when you think of God being long-suffering with you, you think that's a great thing. What a wonderful aspect of God's character. So shouldn't you be willing to be long-suffering even with great harm, or great things that people are doing against you? And he says, you know, are you willing to go and ask God to deal with you for the future as you're thinking of dealing with your fellow man? If you're thinking of just giving up on somebody and taking revenge and lashing out at somebody, being done, would you be, would you ask God to do the same for you? Would you want God to do the same for you? Did Christ turn again upon those who injured and insulted and trod on him when he was here below? And was not he injured far more grievously than you've ever been? This is where, you know, I don't know what you're going through, and I've never been through what you've been, some of the things you've been through, but Christ has been through far worse. And so we can never say nobody understands. Jesus understands. But then the next objection would be, well, those who have injured me persist in it, and they keep doing it, and they don't repent at all, and they just keep on doing it again. And Edwards says, well, what opportunity could there be for long suffering if the injury didn't keep going on for a long time? Of course they keep doing it, because it wouldn't really be patience if you didn't have to be patient over a long period of time. And he says it could be that God has specifically given you these circumstances for you to show your long suffering, to show your patience with the people around you. And then the third objection is, someone might say, well, you might say, well, the person who's been hurting me is going to just keep going on and doing this more, because if they see I don't fight back, they're just going to do it more. They're going to hit me again. They're going to say these awful things about me again. They're going to keep doing these things if I don't fight back. And Edwards just says, well, you just don't know that that's true. You don't know that they'll be encouraged to keep doing these things. And that God will undertake for you, and he's more able to put a stop to what they're doing to you than you are. Romans 12, 19 through 21 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals in his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So there's absolutely a time for self-defense, to preserve your life. It's a responsibility that you have to preserve your life. There's a time to go through the civil courts if someone is breaking the law and hurting you, to go through the church courts if someone's sinning against you. Those are proper measures at times, but we should still always be responding out of love for this person and seeking to do them good. And recognizing that good overcomes, that we should be seeking to overcome evil with good, being kind to this person who's hurting you. So again, as I've just said, you can look at me and say, you don't know what I'm going through, but Christ does know what you're going through. And I would encourage you to keep reminding yourself of Christ's love for you. And the grace he's given to you, the mercy he's given to you, and be willing to show that mercy to others. And I would say, practically speaking, if you're struggling with patience with someone, I would say, first of all, pray and ask for God to give you more love for this person. That's something the Spirit gives you. Ask God, please, Lord, may help me love this person. And the patience and all the kindness and all these other things we're going to look at will flow out of that love. And so in one way, it doesn't have to be a complicated prayer. Just say, Lord, please help me love this person more. And then, practically speaking, I would encourage you to try to get time with that person that are in ways that aren't confrontational or that aren't difficult. to try to build compassion for that person, maybe even build affection for that person, build affection for each other, and try to love that person patiently as Christ has loved you, because that is what he's done for us. And the only reason that any of us are saved is because he was patient with us and has loved us in a great way. So that's what I was wanted to look at today, about love being patient, how love motivates us to be long-suffering. So if you have any questions, feel free to drop them in the comments, or send me a text here if you're not logged into Facebook. But I will wait patiently if you want to send any of those in. And again, as always, if you come up with a question after the fact, if you just want to text me or call me or something, you're always welcome to do that. But I'm not seeing questions right at the moment. So maybe I will. I don't know how much of a lag there is here. Maybe I will close us in prayer here, and then I'll see if there's anything by the end. And if not, that's fine. And we can go on with the rest of our Lord's Day. So let's pray together. Gracious Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your patience with us. And we know that you have, we have rebelled against you and sinned against you in so many greater ways than anyone has ever hurt us. And so we ask that you'd give us wisdom, the wisdom to be patient, also to know when it is the right time to defend ourselves or to try to uphold what's right and hold wrongdoers to account. But Lord, help us to help our first response to be patient and to be long-suffering, and fill us with a love for you and a love for our neighbors that makes this patience possible. We thank you for your great grace and mercy to us. Help us to be a church community that is characterized by patience. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thanks for sticking with me today. I hope technology all worked okay, and we will go ahead and wrap things up here again. Feel free to shoot me any questions if you have them later. I will see you guys later. Bye.